Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. All right, it's the Odd Couple. Did we introduce the crew, Rob?
Nope, we did not. I just said we'd be ready to talk about the Cowboys and Falcons.
We got DJ Alex Tyshirt on the ones and the twos on this Magic City Monday. We got super producer Rob Garrett back, Rob, from his vacation. I mean, this dude vacations more than you. It's unbelievable.
No, he's the vacation king. Yeah, yeah, I'm the poo king. Well, I think it was his daughter's birthday, right, Rob G? Was that why you took off for 3 days?
No, he was off.
That is correct. It was a birthday week.
That's what I thought. I saw the pictures.
We used to do birthday months, Rob G. Because, you know, and you probably will too, because, you know, you got the school party. You got the party in the neighborhood. You got your family gathering.
Well, she's only
like
one,
three weekends,
right?
Yeah, he'll get there.
Rob G, the pictures were beautiful. That's all.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
Beautiful. Yes, very nice.
And then we got the super producer. Hey, not producer, but the loquacious, the verb infested Brian Finley. All right, Rob.
Sounds like he needs a penicillin shot if he's infested, but that's another story.
Where's the everything's not funny?
Everything's not funny. Well, because that was funny.
All right, here we go, Rob. The Dallas Cowboys with a 40-39 come-from-behind victory, down 15 points with less than 8 minutes to go, and they come back and upend the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm not going to call it a must-win because that division is so darn sorry that it wasn't a must-win. They probably, teams in that division won't have a must-win until week six. You know, and Washington's 1-1. They're looking all right. Obviously, the Giants 0-2, and Philadelphia just looks hapless, 0-2. So the Cowboys get them a win, which is good because next week, they got Seattle next week, I believe. That's probably an L. So good win for them. I'm not going to say, Dak was good to me. Three running. He did something positive that no other quarterback in history has done. Threw for over 400 yards, 450, I believe, to be exact. Runs for three touchdowns. No one's ever done that. And then throws for another touchdown. Only has one turnover. So, yeah, a lot of it was late, but it was a comeback. So I think Dak was fine. I'm not going to just act like he was, you know, Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson on one of their better days, but he was good. He won. That's what they needed. He did whatever it took, passing, running. I was impressed. But you can't deny, no one can deny that Atlanta was a joke at the end of the game. Rob, that onside kick, when they just stood there and watched. Now, look, I obviously never played in the NFL. I obviously never had to be on the hands team. And I saw Brandon Marshall today on First Things First say he was on the hands team, which makes sense. And you're taught to not touch the ball till it's 10 yards because if you jump on it and it, you know, somehow squirts loose, now it's a live ball and the opponent can grab it. But then I heard other guys, Michael Vick and other players, say the opposite, which is what I felt watching it. Rob, I was like, dive on the ball. I mean, I actually wanted Dallas, but still, dive on the ball. What are you waiting for? And obviously that set up the opportunity for the Cowboys to win. But go ahead. I know you want to poo-poo the Cowboys, I imagine, unless you're going to give Dak some props for once.
No, come on. I'm not even. Come on. All of those numbers are fraudulent.
Fraudulent? You fall behind, it was a W. Yep.
No. They're fraudulent because, A, they happen against the Atlanta Falcons, who are the choke champs. That's the choke capital of the United States, Atlanta.
Hold on. Rob, I got to check you on that. Didn't you pick the Atlanta Falcons to make the playoffs?
It doesn't matter what I picked. I'm talking about what they did.
You're 9-1 on our picks.
I'm talking about what they did and what they've done so far. When they were out to 20-0 after the first quarter, and remember, they also did something that nobody had ever done, which was score 39 points with no turnovers. It's the first time in 441 games that a team with 39 points and zero. Chris, it would be one thing if they had three turnovers and a fumble and two pick sixes or whatever. No turnovers, 39 points, and you don't win.
You know what?
That's an ultimate choke. Right. It's a choke job.
It might not have been counted as one. It should, actually. But
it's not a turnover.
No, I know. I get it officially. But that's what it was. That was the biggest turnover.
Because you didn't have the ball. You didn't turn it over.
No, I get it. But it's your possession. You know, I know it's not officially one, but that was a turnover.
All I'm saying is.
And that cost them the game.
You know, a lot of those numbers, when you're down, when it's 20-0 to start the game, in the first quarter, you know, you just, the defense relaxes. You try to make people work. I get it. There's a lot of those games and people put up a lot of numbers and they are what they are, Chris. But here's my issue is that they don't beat good teams. And yes, they pulled it out. They needed to win that game. And you're right. The division's not that great.
It's horrible.
But if they would have lost that game the way that they had played in that, people would have started to grumble about the Cowboys and where they are, that they would have lost the game to the Atlanta Falcons in that fashion and where they were and how sloppy and bad it was. But I don't buy into that. I think when I look at the game, I'm with Charles Barkley, who on TNT said, I'll say, I won't give the Cowboys any credit. Charles Barkley said he won't give them no credit, but I'll say I won't give them any credit. This was a collapse. This was a choke job. This was as bad as it gets. I almost, and I get it, the magnitude is different. The Super Bowl being up 28-3 with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, getting shut out the rest of the way and losing the Super Bowl. But my God, yesterday was something I don't think I've ever seen. And it's just another one of those days at the office for the Atlanta Falcons. And how Dan Quinn and those guys still have gigs today is beyond me, because if you can't get fired off of a game like that, I don't know how you can get fired. And now to think that Dan Quinn has been in Atlanta for both of them, that he's the head coach who has seen two historic meltdowns in the NFL. Historic. How in the world are you still working? So, you know, you take the W, you want to put the stats in Dak's column, that's fine. But I wasn't impressed by that. I thought this was more about the Falcons.
Well, look, nobody, as a guy that picked Dallas to win that division, and I feel good about that, that's for darn sure. But nobody, if you're a fan of the Cowboys or you're rooting for them, whatever the case, you couldn't feel great about that. All you feel good about is they got the win. And sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes you win ugly, you don't deserve it, you didn't play well, and you get the W and you'll take it. But they got a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about it. But I liked, you know, that they stuck with it. You know, I don't want to sing their praises too much. But I thought Dak played well. You're right. Defenses do loosen up. There's no doubt about
that. Just the way you have to play. You know what I mean.
I mean, you don't have to loosen up that early. I mean, you know, but he was huge in the second half. And the game was getting close. It was close entering the fourth. And then, of course, Atlanta scored again to go up two touchdowns. But, you know, by that point, they had the Falcons' attention. And he still produced some huge drives. But, yeah, without that horrible play on the special teams, it's all for naught. And I agree with you on Dan Quinn. Yeah, I mean,
if they lose that game, what would your narrative be today? Just Just curious.
Well,
not that the
my narrative
over.
Would be that no, it certainly ain't over.
No,
I mean,
no, I'm saying
my narrative
not that.
Would be that they got to get it together. They look bad. Now, here's the other thing, Rob. They were playing without not only their two starting offensive tackles, two very good ones, obviously Tyron Smith, but Lyle Collins as well. But not only that, but they started two undrafted rookies. Undrafted rookies. So that's part of the narrative too, why I give Dak some credit. He had a mismatch offensive line, and he still found a way to get them the W. Now, again, I think they're in trouble next week against Seattle. If they go out and beat Seattle, then things are starting to look up. But this was just a good win for them to get. It puts them, you know, ahead of that division outside of Washington. And that's what you want to do is win your division. But, yeah, that first half was just atrocious. And it was just, you know, ridiculous. But they got the win, and I'm cool with it. And to your point about Dan Quinn, Rob, he's been there seven years, two playoffs. It's not like he's been, you know, a perennial playoff
guy. I don't even get it.
It's a bit bizarre.
And you have Matt Ryan there who can put up points and put up numbers. But, my God, I mean, I haven't seen anything like it. I trashed Atlanta and the Falcons in my Deadspin column today because Atlanta, I still say, is the worst sports town ever. And they deserve each other. The Falcons in Atlanta deserve each other. I'm sorry, Atlanta.
It is a bad sports town.
It is.
Wow. Anybody that's been there for any, you know, professional game. I mean,
they root for the opponent.
Yeah. I mean, half the crowd's pulling for the opponent. You know, they're transplants or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Who do you give the credit to? Was Dallas just that good? Was Dak that good? I think he was good. I'm not going to, you know, praise him to the high heavens, but he was good. Or was Atlanta just horrific? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99. As we get going on this Magic City Monday, it's Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple on a Magic City Monday. We're brought to you by Geico. Now, did you know this? That right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's right. You can save 15% on top of what Geico already saves you. I mean, it's crazy. What are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. 877-99 on Fox. You're praising the Cowboys for a gutsy, gritty comeback? Or you're ripping the Falcons for falling apart in unprecedented fashion? Your turn to weigh in with Rob and Chris.
I was hoping that Jabril from Atlanta would call in since that's his home team.
Is
and guess
running?
Who's calling in? Jabril, you're on the Odd Couple of Fox Sports Radio. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's happening?
What's up, man?
Hey, I don't give the Cowboys no credit. I give all the blame to Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn. I know y'all probably like Matt Ryan, but like in Atlanta, like we want him gone.
He's all right.
Yeah, all right. You take him. We don't want him.
How about Dan Quinn, though? Dan Quinn, to me, has been there. Chris mentioned it. 7 years, two playoffs.
6 years now.
This is 6 years. And two choke jobs by historic proportion.
He might drop on him, Rob. Nothing to say.
I mean, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Dan Quinn, dude, enough already.
Would Dan Quinn be your coach next week?
Me? No.
Yeah.
He would have been fired after the game yesterday. I'm not kidding you. Sometimes, Chris, him and Matt Patricia, too, in Detroit, he would have been fired yesterday.
The Lions look atrocious.
They've lost 11 in a row.
For about 12 minutes?
Yes. And you knew what was going to happen, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Two touchdowns. They were up 14-3, and then reality set in. And
but
he's
I
a defensive
nine
coach.
Wins wasn't enough. He's got 9 wins in 2 years. Two plus years.
Right.
Jim Caldwell looking like freaking Newt Rockne compared to Matt Patricia, but they fired him. But that's another story for another day.
Yes. Mike, Big Mike in Cincinnati, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Big Mike?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Great,
good.
Man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain. I do have to say, it's about time for them to get rid of Dan Quinn. The Super Bowl, that was just by, probably the top three worst chokes of all time. But then, when you're up, 39?
39-24 with 8 minutes left.
39-24, and then the onside kick is coming, and I'm not even a Falcons fan, but I was real mad as if I was a Falcons fan.
Big Mike? I'm telling you, you're not alone. It's not even that people had to like the Falcons, but when you're supposed to win a football game and you've done all the stuff, you know what I mean? And all you have to do is do the elementary stuff to win the game. I think a lot of people felt the way you felt.
Well, to me, that was coaching. The first thing I thought about watching that is how the coaches didn't tell them what to do, the right thing. It was like they didn't know. Now, again, Brandon Marshall, Rob, said that
I always thought you couldn't touch it either. That's what I thought, too.
No, the receiving team can touch it. But look, Brandon's right in that if you touch it, and sometimes those things are hard to, corral, then it's a live ball and maybe the opponent gets it. But to sit there and watch till it gets to the 10-yard line, I think you got to grab it. You got to dive on it. And because the opponent couldn't stop you, it's not like they can stop you from diving on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
They can't touch it, but yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy finish. What about Chad in Ohio? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Chad?
What's up, OG?
What's up?
So, hey, let's just keep it all the way real. The Falcons players are grown men paid to stop other grown men from scoring and winning. So, I'm not impressed with Dak's lackluster performance in the turnovers.
Hold on, lackluster? He had one turnover. He's got one turnover in the entire season.
His lackluster performance in the first half.
This is a lackluster take, Chad. My man had 450 yards and 3 running touchdowns and another pass in the boot. I'm not saying it was the best performance ever, but I wouldn't call it lackluster. They came back and won a game they shouldn't have won. Just because the other team helped them out. Heck, the Clippers helped Denver out, but we give Denver credit.
Nah, not a choke job like that. Not what we saw yesterday.
You called Kawhi, your favorite player, a choke artist.
I said he choked in that, but I'm talking about
But Denver gets credit, though.
No, but that game there, Chris, football with securing a onside kick to win a football game, I've never seen anything like that. They were up 20-0 after the first quarter. In football, that ain't like a 20-point lead.
That ain't that.
I never seen that.
That's not that impossible.
And the record of 440-1, up 39 points and no touch in turnovers. One more, Josh in Texas. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio.
Quickly,
what's up, Josh?
What's going on, fellas, man? Appreciate the
What's
work
up?
You guys do, man. Go ahead.
Thank you.
And keep it
Thank
running,
you.
Man. Oh,
Thank
I forgot.
You.
2 years. Congrats.
Thank you,
Thank
my
you.
Man. What's your point?
Hey, first off, I want to say, man, that I personally believe this is bigger than the Super Bowl, not in ramification, but as far as 440-0 or something like that.
I can't make it bigger than the Super Bowl.
No, I know because it's four championships.
And you were up 28-3. Yeah, I get what he's saying, but no you can't compare it to that.
The only reason that people are feeling that way because of that big number, Chris. 440 times
right,
has happened
something
in the
that
NFL.
Never happened.
Do you know what I mean? That had never,
but
ever happened.
But you know,
happened.
Too, Rob, that sometimes you could, and I'm not saying it wasn't huge. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you can pick out arbitrary numbers. You know that.
No, they do it
basketball,
in the NBA all the time.
First guy to ever have 27 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists,
right, but
while shooting, 55% from the floor. You know,
they come up with it so that they could get the number to put out there.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so I understand that part.
We'll get with our man TJ Houshmandzadeh, former Pro Bowl wide receiver, coming up next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's a former Pro Bowl wide receiver and co-host of the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast. What a name. Our man, TJ Houshmandzadeh. TJ, welcome to The Odd Couple.
How y'all doing, man? Hey, Rob, I'm the king of the picks right now, too, Chris, by the way, man. I'm leading the pack,
look at you.
Man. I'm leading the pack.
Because Rob's 9-1. I'm sure you know him. I'm sure he's told you that. What's your record?
I don't know if Rob is 9-1, Chris.
No.
Y'all do different picks.
Yeah, we don't do the same.
See, he doesn't tell us about those, TJ.
No, but it's totally different because we have to do NFC North and AFC North games only.
Rob, we neck and neck. We are neck and neck.
Yes.
We neck and neck. We have
so
a
who is the co-host?
Breaks.
I know it was going to be Rob. Who's the co-host?
What?
Are you doing it now,
yeah.
Rob?
Yeah,
me and Mr. Rob Parker, you're co-host.
All right.
Let's talk about the streets.
You know, word on the streets. But
all right, can we move forward, please?
All right. Hoosh, here we go, man. We were talking about. Look, I'm just gonna start here. Justin Herbert looked very. I mean, considering the circumstance, I thought he looked great yesterday. To me, he should be the starter. Until further notice. I get Tyrod. You know, you hate to lose position because of injury. But we all know the future of the team is Herbert. And he looked like he was ready. Where are you at on this, Anthony? You know, the coaches said that right now Taylor's still the starter. Where are you at on that?
If I can give you some adjectives, it's confused, perplexed. I don't know whether, unless they had a plan as an organization to say, we want Herbert to sit and learn this rookie year unless Tyrod has a season-ending injury, but he threw for 300 yards.
Right.
He really outdueled Patrick Mahomes. They just lost the game. I mean,
yep.
Statistically, he played very well. Now, what I will say is he didn't have time to think about pressure and being nervous. It was sprung upon him like, oh, you're starting. So you didn't have time to think about it the entire week or even the night before. And so that could have played a role in it. But the way he played, no question for me. He played a lot of snaps of college football at Oregon. He's a starter. If you're my future and you play like that in your first game, I'm just going to roll with you. Sorry, Tyrod.
Right.
TJ, help me with the Atlanta Falcons and what transpired. You play football in the National Football League. You watch football. How many times can this happen to you? We know about the Super Bowl in 2017. They gave it up 28-3. But yesterday they were up 20-0 in the first quarter, and they blow the game, including an onside kick. What was your take on that?
That can't happen. And it seems like it's been a 2.5-year hangover, and it's never gonna end. Like, something has to be done, and you don't want to see anybody get fired.
But Dan Quinn should be fired. Come on, TJ, right?
Should he be fired? They should have fired him in the locker room after the game.
Right after the game.
You can't. This is the National Football League. This isn't high school football. This is the National Football League. You cannot blow that type of game when games are so hard to come by. Especially, number one, Dan Quinn is a defensive-minded coach.
Yep. Right.
You can't keep firing all these defensive coordinators and blaming them, because that's basically what you're doing, is blaming the Marquand Manuels of the world and saying it's their fault, not my fault. And then you lose a game like this. Don't even worry about the onside kick. They didn't lose that game because of the onside kick. Yeah, somebody should have hopped on the ball. Yeah, they should have gone over it. They probably should have called a timeout to just kind of go over it again. They lost the game by giving up the lead on defense again, and that has to fall on Dan Quinn. He probably will be relieved of his duties, but it shouldn't even have gotten to this point. You're a defensive coach. Like, get it together. Like, that's ridiculous. If I'm a player, Like, I'm pissed off. Whether I'm on offense or defense.
Let me just say, Chris, I want to ask one follow-up. Were you ever – I mean, obviously you were a receiver, so you have good hands. But were you ever on the all-hands team when they noted an onside kick? And what did they teach you? Because different players were saying different things. Don't right. touch it. What did you say?
It could become Brandon a live Marshall ball. Said that. Brandon Marshall today was saying hop on it and, like at 7 yards or whatever, and sometimes it can be tough to corral that it's a live ball and the opponent could get it. I think you should have hopped on it, but what were you guys taught?
What were you taught?
So I was on the hands team. I was the guy that they wanted the ball to be kicked to. So in essence, I was the guy always behind that front wave of blockers. So if they were going to kick it to the left side and I was on the right side, we would call a timeout and they would move me over. So I was the guy that, in essence, they wanted the ball kicked to if I was with the Falcons. So that's number one. It's a different game than when me and Brandon Marshall played. The guys got to run and start back then. This guy would block the first guy outside. This guy would block the second guy. So as you're waiting on the ball, you already have an idea of who's going to be blocked, who's going to be unblocked if the ball's kicked here. So we already had that idea. When I tell you, you go over every situation, at least when I played with every team I played for, if they do this, this is how we're going to react. If they kick it here, this is how we want to react. With the success of onside kicks lately, teams have had no success because you can't get a run and start.
Right.
They should have gone over that specific kick, and they should have said, if the ball is moving slowly and you think you can get on it, get on it. That ball right. could have been landed on, and the Falcons won the game. And they waited, and they waited, and obviously we know what happened. But those situations, I know every team I've been on. I mean, we've gone over every situation. You're sitting in meetings, and you're like, why are we going over this? This is never going to happen, and it happened.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, former Pro Bowl wide receiver, joining the Odd Couple. TJ, I got to ask you this. What have you seen with Carson Wentz? Because obviously this is a guy a few years ago was in the MVP hunt. And now, I mean, it's only two games, but he has looked bad in these two games.
He's throwing bad interceptions at bad times. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You can say, yeah, he's playing bad, but when you look at the totality of what's going on, when you lose offensive linemen just prior to the start of the season like he has, and they're starters and they're really good players, that doesn't help. And so he can be pressing. And obviously that's what he's doing. He's trying to do too much. It's just hard for me to fathom that he was the clear MVP winner if he doesn't get hurt. And he's had a fall from grace like this. And so for me, I would look at it and say, is the protection what it needs to be? And if it is, it's hard to put a finger on a guy that came into the league, played extremely well, got the contract that he has, and now you're, in essence, you lose to Dwayne Haskins and the Washington Redskins, and then you just play like this against the Rams when actually you had a chance to at least tie that game up. It's a little confusing. They better figure this out. Luckily, the NFC East doesn't look like it's going to be that hard to win. And so it's
right.
similar to a situation that the NFC East went through last year.
All right. Our man, TJ Houshmandzadeh, former Pro Bowl wide receiver, co-host with Rob Parker of the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast. It is the Odd Couple. Thanks a lot, TJ, man. We always appreciate it, brother.
I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all keep up the great work, man.
All right, my man. Peace. One NFL head coach just made a decision that I hope not, but it could lead to some shakiness in his job security. We're not talking about Dan Quinn, who's already on shaky ground. We will get to that next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, and we're brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. It works fast and you won't stink. Pharmacists recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, even arthritis. No stinging, no burning. Just simple pain relief. Blue Emu, maximum pain relief. It works fast and you will not stink. All right, Rob, we broached this topic with TJ Houshmandzadeh, who we just had on the for an interview. And I asked him, if you're, because Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the LA Chargers, who lost a heartbreaker 23-20 in overtime to Kansas City. Tyrod Taylor, for those that don't know, the starter, you know, before the season and for game one, couldn't play because of chest pains right before the game. And so the rookie, Justin Herbert, who is the future of the franchise, at least that's the plan, he's thrown into the starting role. And like TJ said, he didn't have time to worry or fret or get nervous. He just found out moments before the game. And so he goes out there, though, and plays a great game. Not a perfect game. He threw an interception late when they were – he should have ran, and he had running room, but he threw a pass across the field that was picked off. It was a bad play. But overall, he was good, 22 for 33, 311 yards, one touchdown, one interception. And again, they almost beat Kansas City. And he looked poised for the most part. He wasn't shaking. His athleticism, his size. He threw the ball well, nice arm. Like, he looked good. He looked good. And Anthony Lynn came out today and said that as long as Tyrod is healthy, or, you know, if he's healthy, as soon as he gets healthy, he will be the starter. Rob, like TJ said, unless you just had this, you know, plan that was not going to change come hell or high water that Justin needs to watch this year, I don't understand this. I think you let Herbert play. We know that quarterbacks, for the most part, aren't sitting for a year, 2 years, 3 years like they used to at times. You need to come in and prove yourself, not all the time immediately, but in many cases. I mean, Kyler Murray was thrown into the fire, you know, and as well as some others. And so I think Herbert should be the starter until he just shows, you know, that he's not ready right now. But I would go with him right now.
Yeah, I don't think that was the game plan the entire way, from the standpoint that you don't want to have to go back or go backwards. So it's like, we got a veteran guy who doesn't turn over the ball, who's a decent player, not great.
He started 47 games. He's thrown for 300 plus yards once. And Herbert does it in his first time. And I know yards sometimes can be overrated, but this time it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't against the prevent defense and all of that. You know what I mean? He legitimately threw for 311 yards.
Yeah, there's like usually a game plan that you want to have, because you don't want to put the kid in and then he's not ready and then you got to go back to, you know, take him out or whatever. You want to, once you put him in there, you want to feel like he should be that guy. And I don't know, Chris, maybe if they would have won the game or something, you know, I don't know if that would have changed anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, if had they beaten the Chiefs, maybe that, you know, you get your chance, you go in there, you win a big game, and then people don't look back.
I get a feeling no, just because it certainly wasn't his fault. I mean, granted, the interception was bad, but you know what I mean?
But I'm just saying, when you win, it's harder to do something. When you win, you could justify everything and say, we still lost, so he didn't win the game. But if the kid won the game and beat Kansas City, then you have to make a decision. You have to be the one to say, I'm going to go back to the guy. I don't think Tyrod Taylor should be a starter. That's just me. But I think they seem like they have a plan, and it's not for him to start yet. But who knows? Maybe they'll rethink it. And I guess it is you know, disappointing, because what was it, a injection or something he had a reaction to? Wasn't like he's hurt or anything. Do you know what I mean?
Remember, he had a rib injury and he was finessing it through the week, and he had an injection for it, and it just had a bad negative reaction to it, with chest pain and heart trouble breathing.
Yeah. You couldn't get out there with that.
Right. But look, here's the other thing, right? And you were high on the Chargers last year, and you know they had a great year the year before that, so that's understandable. But this looks like a team, Rob, that should be playing for something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl or get there, but they look like maybe they can be a playoff team. And so now, I guess you could look at that two ways. You could say, well, let's throw the veteran in. We know he's not going to hurt us. But I say throw the young guy in. And, you know, because he showed me some things where he can play. You know, granted, it's one game, but he looked good. And even if he doesn't play well enough to get you in the playoffs, you go in the next year ready, and he's got all the nerves out and all the lessons he needed to learn, and then maybe he's ready. Furthermore, Rob, they got Carolina next. So that's a game you figure you could win with Herbert. That'd be great for his confidence. You got Tampa after that. Okay, that's going to be a tough one. New Orleans, tough one. Then you got the Jets, Miami, Jacksonville, and the Raiders, and Denver, Buffalo. Like, so you got, I would leave the kid in, and I hope that, you know, this is the type of decision, Rob, depending on how long you would keep him out. If the season really goes south, then you throw him in and he plays well. That's just one of those decisions that could make an owner scratch his head about the head coach. Like, why, he looked great his first game. Why didn't you stick with him? So hopefully that's not the case. I wouldn't be surprised if he does end up starting.